Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. A lot's going on behind the scenes. Some things that may not touch us directly, but nonetheless, they happen, don't they? The world is always moving and well, we're glad it rotates, I can tell you that, and goes around the sun. But in terms of the financial world, there's things happening over with 401ks, and that, of course, affects a lot of people. And lucky for us, we have an expert on the line with me who can help us weigh in and understand some of the things that are happening or that may happen and what the ramifications might be for us everyday, regular people who are working with these plans and trying to make the most of them. And on the line with me is Rick Lager. He is founder and president of Lager & Company. His website, lagerco.com. So LagerCo.com. And he's also written the book, Forget the Pie, Recipe for a Healthier 401k. A couple great articles recently that we came across and wanted to get Rick's commentary on, and interesting things happening both politically and also on Wall Street. So we'll talk with Rick about these things. Rick, welcome to the program.
David, thank you for very much for having me back again.
Oh, you're very welcome. You have a standing invitation to come back anytime you would like, and we appreciate your taking some time out of your schedule because I know you're busy. There's been some things that have happened since you and I last talked, and I'm really curious to get your perspective. For our listeners, Rick does a lot of work with helping folks with their finances and also really focuses in on the 401ks and helping people manage that biggest asset in many cases, aside from the house, to do the best they can with those monies because it will fund the retirement. So I wanted to get your take on this. There's been some talk about new regulations or higher standard of care or a higher standard of responsibility for 401k plans, and it looks like it's getting some political action. So if you don't mind, Rick, give us a little bit of backdrop of what's been happening here and where things look like they're headed.
Well, this last 30 days or so of developments, David, is really stunning on a couple of levels. First of all, the issue that the White House is pushing, the agenda that they're trying to push through Congress has been an issue that's been a 401k retirement plan issue since 1981, since the first plan was created.
Mm.
And that's basically the standard of which 401k participants get their advice. The second thing is you'd think that with all the other world headlines going on today that this wouldn't be exactly at the top of the list of what the White House wants to push through Congress.
That's interesting because there are such other, it makes you wonder why. I mean, and I don't like to be a conspiracy kind of guy. It is a curious timing, isn't it?
It's very curious because on another level, you know, the Department of Labor is behind this White House push. And the Department of Labor is the agency of the government that controls the legislation and rules and regulations for company retirement plans. They're pushing this agenda through, David, at a time where everybody that's a longtime financial advisor like you and I are, we've been following for years the same type of agenda pushed by the Securities and Exchange Commission.
Right.
The difference between suitability, I make an investment recommendation to you as a client because I think it's suitable for your risk tolerance and the financial goal that you want to pursue with the investment of this money, versus a fiduciary level of advice, which is that I, as a fiduciary advisor, am going to recommend this investment to you, and I am obligated by law to make this recommendation in your best interest.
Mm, good.
And that agenda's been, how old is that, David? Seven years old, probably?
Yeah, at least.
And they haven't cleared it up on the Securities and Exchange Commission level yet, and now the White House is pushing the Department of Labor to advance the same agenda for company retirement plans and IRA accounts.
Hmm. So this would translate to everyday people out there listening to you and I talk about the risk, Rick, with a 401k or whatever it may be. What that would mean is that this would put a higher level of responsibility on the folks who are the providers of the 401ks to the employers for the benefit of the employees. So if it's a XYZ insurance company or ABC mutual fund, or portfolio mutual funds, that these funds now have to be higher level of responsibility, more efficient on cost, more appropriate, more diverse, all sorts of things that are all better for the actual plan participant and not just okie dokie.
Exactly. The banks, insurers, mutual fund companies, brokerage companies that have been the sponsor, in alignment with the sponsor. This, if you work for Florida Power and Light, David, in your case.
All right.
Florida Power and Light is the sponsor of the plan.
Mm-hmm.
The bank, the brokerage firm, the mutual fund company, the insurance company that offers you your menu of options in your 401k is the plan provider. These providers, as you said earlier, are compensated on multiple levels through fees and special arrangements that are not typically disclosed, much less even understood, at the individual company retirement plan participant level.
Right, right.
And what the Department of Labor is trying to do, pushed by the White House, is to clear all that up and say that if I am a participant in a company retirement plan, I need to know the list of information that you just described, costs, fees, investment performance, and if this is a suitable investment for me based on my tolerance for risk. And that's not been cleared up at any level of financial advice, much less company retirement plans.
Right, right.
This is the same problem we've had, David, for 34 years since 401k has been in existence.
Right.
And all of a sudden now, it's front and center.
Yeah, and that's what's curious to me about it. I mean, on the surface, you know, you and I would probably agree that this is a good thing.
Yes.
But I'm scratching my head going, okay, why now? And, you know, I mean, if it's good for the plan participant, that's great, wonderful. But why now?
I don't understand the timing at all. And you can imagine the huge level of opposition.
Oh, sure.
By all these very, very powerful industry lobbies, Wall Street, insurance companies, mutual funds. I mean, those are all three in the top 10 of money spent lobbying on an annual basis. We're talking millions of dollars they spent, those industries.
Yeah, but that's a small down payment, Rick, because as you know, most plan participants are not aware of the fees associated with their 401ks. And I know you do this. We do this as well, where we get in there and we help participants figure out how to allocate their funds. And one of the first things I'm looking at are trying to find all the fees.
Exactly. Yes. And just on that level alone, David, an independent third-party advisor that has no connection with the retirement plan sponsor company or the retirement plan provider company, as an advocate for the individual company retirement plan participant, just on that level alone, we are worth any advisory fee that we would be paid to advocate and to navigate for the individual company retirement plan participant.
Well, I can't disagree. It may sound self-serving, but I can't disagree, Rick, because you know these options in 401k sometimes are difficult to understand. And a lot of participants, as you know, it's overwhelming. It's not the highest thing on their to-do list. And
yes,
it's in another language. So they just say, okay, I'll take the, give me the asset allocation aggressive strategy or the lifestyle this or whatever. And I'll take the one that's most aggressive or the one that's balanced or most conservative. And they may have just made a choice that gives them high fees that they don't know about. I know you know very well that, you know, just an extra percentage point of fee over people's working careers on average. I mean, you're talking about thousands and tens of thousands of dollars potentially in lost performance or what's going to be in the account when you retire.
That's part of the main thrust of this White House agenda through the Department of Labor, David, is the fact that the average participant loses tens of thousands of dollars of fees to these retirement plan providers that have no fiduciary standard or liability to disclose how much it's costing these people to participate in these company retirement plans on an annual basis. And as you said earlier, David, this doesn't go away. If you were 20 years old, right out of college, 21, 22 years old in 1981, and you've worked for 35 years for Florida Power, let's say, for a large company, and now you're you're 55 years old, let's say, and you're nearing retirement, you're going to, 9 times out of 10, somebody's going to tell you to take that money out of the Florida Power and Light plan when you retire and roll it over to a self-directed IRA. These White House guidelines pushed by the Department of Labor, David, are including IRAs.
IRAs that are employer-based, like Simple and SEPs and stuff like that? Or are you talking about actual IRA IRAs?
They want to hold the custodian and provider of your IRA,
yeah,
like a Schwab or a Vanguard or Fidelity or who else, they want to hold them to the same fiduciary standard.
Oh, boy.
Okay, so the issue is it's never going to go away. When you put $1 in a company retirement plan,
yeah,
and you eventually retire and roll that over for a self-directed IRA for income, they want a fiduciary standard all the way through that process.
Well, that is an admirable, but I think there not one level of resistance for the employer-based or 401k-based fiduciary rule to come into being, but oh boy, a whole nother, you know, you've just brought out all the reserved, reinforced army to fight if they're going to try and impose that kind of standard, because now that affects banks, brokerage firms, all of those. I just can't imagine they're being willing to go along with the fiduciary standard now for all IRAs.
Well, in a retirement plan environment, David, if you work at Florida Power, there's somebody who's a custodian of your retirement plan at Florida Power.
Right.
When you roll that over to an IRA, again, some institution is a custodian of that money on your behalf.
Mm.
They want whoever gives you advice on that money all the way through that process, both entities, they want a fiduciary level of standard, of advice.
Well,
it's not going to be a suitability anymore like
right.
it is at a broker. It's going to be fiduciary.
Mm.
You are personally liable, personally, not through your company.
Mm.
You can't hide behind Merrill Lynch. You can't hide behind Morgan Stanley. You are personally liable for the investment advice that you provide that participant, that individual.
Boy, that's going to be interesting to see.
it's completely going to change the game, and that's why there's. I saw something this morning. There was an article, David, about one of the security industry. It's called the Financial Markets Association. It's a lobbying industry trade group. They in 2 weeks they got 183 signatures from members of Congress, including over 115 Democrats, I think it was, attacking this Labor Department rule.
Right.
And you know, it's going to be a real uphill battle. It's all in the best interest of individual investors, but it's going to be a really uphill battle with that kind of opposition, that kind of money. It's going to educate people on how powerful politics are, David, at the highest level.
I think you're right about that. Rick Lager, ladies and gentlemen, founder, president of Lager & Company. Website, lagerco.com. The book, Forget the Pie, Recipe for a Healthier 401k. Quick break. We'll be back with Rick. Stay right there.
Where can you find more spin than in politics? If you said financial services, you'd be correct. Ask a stockbroker how you should invest your money, and what do you think he'll say? Ask an insurance agent the same question, and what do you think you'll hear? Unfortunately, when an advisor is limited in what he can offer, he is often understandably biased. You'll need to ask questions. Ask advisors what products and services they can and can't offer. Ask about their licensing and credentials. Remain skeptical. This public service has been brought to you by Holland Financial. We want to help you plan stronger. For more information, call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com.
And we are back. Rick Lager on the line with me, founder, president of Lager & Company. And Rick brings us 31 years of financial experience, and we're super happy to have him with us as an investment advisor. And we're talking about some of these proposed changes out there on the responsibility, the level of responsibility or duty that an advisor has in working with you, the investing public, ladies and gentlemen. Rick, kind of back to it. So there, we know there's going to be a lot of fighting and a groundswell of opposition to some of these standards. You know, I would go out on a limb here and say I think it's going to be difficult for them to get all of it through and get all of it passed. They may get some measure or some level. But the silver lining here, or the end result, if it does get proper and balanced or unbiased media coverage, which will remain to be seen, it will be at a minimum, some education for the public.
Yes, it will, David. It absolutely will. And it's going to be a lot of disclosure if individual participants just follow these headlines over the next few months. There's going to be a lot of education, too. The difference between an investment advisor and a broker and a financial planner. And you know, does your advisor get paid on a fee basis?
Right.
Does your advisor get paid on a commission basis?
Right.
What is your advisor's connection to the company retirement plan?
Right.
That's been part of the success of the growth of my business, David, because I don't have anything to do with company retirement plans or company retirement plan providers. I open up individual investment advice relationships with individual company retirement plan participants. These people have to fend for themselves in their plan.
Isn't that remarkable? I mean, I know that you of course, like me, we're glad that we have the opportunities we do to help people. And
yes.
And sometimes, to be completely candid, you know, the fact that the services are not available are what create opportunities for you and I.
They really do.
Okay.
Yes.
But,
and I think that as your earlier statement, David, I think these headlines are going to educate individual company retirement plan participants also to the fact that there are alternatives available to them.
Right. Most people don't know that they can hire somebody like you or me, Rick, to actually manage and advise them on a 401k account that is still with that employer plan. They think that they are kind of, you know, left to what's there. Their choices are limited, and they don't know that they can get that advice. They think they have to wait until they retire, then they can roll it into an IRA, and then they can get help. But they can get help right where they are.
They can get help right where they are right now. And we focus a lot of this conversation, David, on the fees involved. I think just a third-party independent analysis of the advisory fees that you're paying to participate in your company retirement plan on an annual basis is worth the cost of what you and I help investors with on its own.
Oh, sure.
But the second part of that stool, second leg of that stool, is the investment performance, and you alluded to that earlier in the conversation.
Right.
When you can do an independent analysis of the entire menu of options available to a company retirement plan participant, and then do that same analysis on the 3, 4, 5 mutual funds that individual participant owns, and compare one versus the other, what kind of investment performance has been available to you over the years, and what kind of investment performance have you gained based on your previous investment decision? When you compare those two numbers, David, you come up with a gap, what I like to call a cost of the problem. What's the investment performance gap that you've not enjoyed by owning the wrong mutual funds in many cases?
Yeah.
That dollar amount difference more than pays for the cost of a third-party independent investment advice relationship for your company 401k plan.
Exactly. And there's definitely, in both areas, Rick, I can't agree more. There's opportunity for cost savings, and there are opportunities for creating a better diversification, better matching to the person's situation, what their needs are, and also for performance. And again, they don't know, and they just kind of pick or ask their coworker, what are you doing? Okay, I'll pick the same thing.
Right.
And it's
just scary.
It's scary. And it's just here we have what is one of your largest assets, if not your largest asset, aside from the home.
Yes.
And people just, I don't know. It's just I am looking forward to the raising of the awareness for the public, and that they understand these things, that there are opportunities to get help.
This only works, investment advice on an individual company retirement plan participant account, David, only works if the benefits outweigh the cost to an individual investor.
Sure.
And the benefits come from cost savings, full disclosure of costs, and back-tested investment performance. And I have never, ever done those two levels of analysis for an individual retirement plan participant, whether they have a $50,000 retirement plan balance or a $2 million retirement plan balance. And I've done them all through that spectrum.
Sure.
For 15 years now. I have never sat down in front of someone that it doesn't work for helping them from a third-party investment advisory relationship, how much that's going to cost them on an annual basis,
right,
and how much it's going to add value to their preservation and growth of their company retirement plan account.
That's why we're in this, Rick. That's why we do it. I tell you what, let's grab a break. We'll come back. I want to talk to you about another angle on all this, and this is about, there was a recent article that talked about this whole argument moving beyond the 401k, but just simply, you know, the place for investment advisors and brokers in the financial world and who does what and why, you know, when you might want to use one versus the other. Rick Lager, ladies and gentlemen, founder, president of Lager & Company. He's a registered investment advisory firm in Golden Valley. We are very glad to have him on the program, lagerco.com. In the book, Forget Pie, Recipe for a Healthier 401k. Quick break, right back with Rick.
Have you considered an annuity as part of your retirement plan? Did you know that over the past 10 years, Americans put a staggering $2.3 trillion into annuities? Despite their popularity, many people are unsure about annuities. Why? Because annuities have been attacked for decades by financial folks who offer competing products or services. A lot of money is at stake. So you can imagine that financial firms who only offer investments don't want you to consider an annuity. Get the facts. Call Holland Financial to get your free copy of Annuities as Part of Your Retirement Plan. This booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities, as well as straightforward information about their costs, features, safety, and income potential. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. Rick Lager on the line with me, and we're glad to have him back, helping us kind of sort out and dig through and dissect all this talk about advisors and fiduciaries and brokers. Oh my. Rick, let's just kind of back up a little bit, maybe go back to 50,000 feet on this question of because out in the financial, well, out in the regular world that you and I are, you know, we're kind of a bubble inside of it. You know, sometimes, well, a lot of times, the public generally views advisors one basket, and they pick one that seems like they know what they're talking about, and maybe they're nice or friendly, and that sometimes is about all there is to it. There's not really a clarity, and again, this is what we hope will come from some of this heightened attention on this whole subject. Not really that much clarity on the differences between brokers and advisors and how they work.
No, there isn't. And critical to the individual investor, the welfare of the individual investor, David, is how that advisor gets compensated. Because, you know, there's only three or four ways to skin a cat in our business to generate revenue to run our business and make a decent living. You know, you can either be compensated by fee only.
Right.
Where you don't get paid a commission to buy or sell something on behalf of a client.
Right.
You can be fee-based, which means that you charge an investment advisory fee based on the size of the client's account, and
right,
you still don't get paid to buy or sell something.
Right.
Or you can be commission-based.
Correct.
In that your advisor compensation comes only when a client buys or sells something.
Well, in those categories, Rick, you know, there's of course been, as you know, long ongoing arguments over what is the best, the right way to do it among different financial services professionals. The more important question that I often am focused on or talk with people about, or I've written about this, and I'm sure you would agree, is even more important than the model is you better know which one it is.
Yes, exactly. And you better know which one, you better have an intelligent discussion, David, with which model best suits your needs as an individual investor.
Exactly.
Because, you know, when we started in the business, Dave, all those years ago, you had to work at a Merrill Lynch or a Morgan Stanley or one of the big brokerage firms. And your custody of your assets, your research, your trading, all that had to be done at one of those large firms. And you didn't have a lot of options as an individual investor. Now you've got a multitude of options, and pretty much everything is a commodity. The custody of your assets should be for free. Your trades are down to the $6, $8, $10, $12 per trade level.
Right.
The only part that costs you the most money for most individual investors is the advisory fee, or and the cost to get advice on your individual account.
Mm.
So those parts, the custody, the trading, and the advice have all been broken up, David, and commoditized.
Well, yeah, the oligopolies that used to sit at the table accessing the market have been broken up. And
yes,
a lot of it is driven by, as you well know, Rick, from technology. And
yep,
now you're exactly right. These costs are much more better broken out and better known. Custody should be free, because what a lot of people don't know, Rick, and I know you know this, is that those custodians, be them a Fidelity, E-Trade, Scottrade, Schwab, whoever they are, they are getting paid because they charge the mutual funds that they hold on behalf of the client. They charge them rent.
Yes,
so
they do.
They get part of that mutual fund fee, and nobody knows that, but that's how they make their millions of dollars, because they're holding billions in assets.
That's right, and that's the one of the core arguments of the White House proposal through the Department of Labor, is how much that costs an individual company retirement plan participant on an annual basis, or, as you stated earlier, David, over the course of their working career.
That's exactly right. And this, now, I guess the thing that we again, we kind of talked about this, Rick, but you know, there certainly is room for the different models as long as it fits for the particular person's situation, right? I mean,
yes,
this is not a thing of absolutes.
Yeah, no, it's not at all. If anything, David, there's more choices available to individual participants today for people like you or I that will take the time to analyze, okay, you work at this company, here's what they're offering you for your plan. Are you locked into your 12, 15, 25 mutual funds on this menu, or do you have a self-directed brokerage option? You analyze the main menu, you analyze the funds that the individual participant sits down in front of you with on that day, and you say, here's what's available, here's what you got.
Right.
There's a gap.
Right, right. And
the gap has cost you this much money.
You're exactly right.
I sat down with a person, David, on Tuesday, that a client has about a $700,000 401k as of 12/31/14. We analyzed the investment performance of all 23 options on the mutual fund default menu in a company retirement plan since the bottom of this stock market cycle, since March 9th of 2009.
Well, Rick,
and
that music
right up to Monday night.
Yeah, that music says
Friday,
we're going to have to run.
Monday was a holiday.
Yeah, that music means we're going to have to run, Rick. Thanks for being with us. Rick Lager, ladies and gentlemen, founder, president of Lager & Company. Rick, we'll have you back. Thank you, sir.
Thank you for the time, David. Always a pleasure.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.